Good evening. How's everyone doing? Happy New Year. Actually, it's the first time I've had a chance to get to say that. I'm so grateful for the teaching team that God is raising up here at Legacy Church. Beginning this reset series, Colton kind of launched things off a couple weeks back with alignment, talked about aligning our spiritual lives. And Patty last week brought the house down with a generous resetting, our generous living and what that looked like and what that means for us. And so it's just awesome to be able to kind of take a couple weeks and just project a little bit and process. And then all of this change. This is our last evening service for a while. So that ought to be pretty exciting. I mean, we're all kind of giddy. And next week we'll have some Krispy Kremes here for you. You get here early. We got some great coffee and Krispy Kreme donuts what I hear maybe a donut wall, but I don't know about that. We'll have to see. So we're resetting some things, and this is a great time of year to talk about this because we're all thinking it. Resetting some behaviors, resetting some perspectives, resetting some core beliefs, some convictions. I looked up that word reset. Old Webster said reset. To reset is to set again. There you go. That's profound. Or differently. Reset again or differently. To set anew, to set some things new. So we want to realign spiritually. I've been at this a long time, at being a Christ follower a long time. I'll mention a little bit more about that here in just a moment. But each year, at this time of year, it's just always good to say, okay, Lord, I just want to pause and really assess what is it you're calling me to that's differently this year. It's what I love about, as I think about resetting some things in my life, it's what I love about golf, honestly. Any golfers we have in here? First service, okay. It's what I love about golf. You get up to the tee box, and you got a foursome, and you take that first swing of the season, and you hold your Rory McIlroy pose right at the end of it. You just shanked it, so it went over about two fairways over, and it's embarrassing. It's an embarrassing moment, and what you're hoping for is somebody in that foursome to just whisper the words, "Hey, why don't you go ahead and take another one? Why don't you go ahead and take?" You know what they're saying? They're saying, "Why don't you take a mulligan?" You know what a mulligan is? Mulligan is a free shot, and it doesn't count against your score. And if you don't have a lot of pride, you just reach into your pocket, grab that other ball, and you set it there, and you hit it again. That's a mulligan. And here's what I wanted to say to you. As we launch 2018 together, I mean, we're on the ride of our lives, folks. I'm just telling you. There's a sense of anticipation that we didn't start in this facility, in this season of Liberty Lake, in this moment in Liberty Lake, in Legacy Church's history. We had no idea this, for example, this building was going to open. We had no idea the things and the opportunities and the avenues and the people and the resource that God has begun to, and we're on a ride, and it's exciting. But here's what I want to say to you is, and I believe this is the heart of Jesus. If 2017 was a bummer, if 2017 was a hard year, if 2017, was something less than what you dreamed could be, I want to say this from the heart of Jesus: take another one. Why don't you go ahead and hit another one? In other words, I hear Jesus saying, I want to do something. If you would allow me to walk with you this year of 2018, I want to set a new course for your life. I want to begin things in you that by the end of this year, we're going to look back at 2018 and say, do you remember our last Sunday night service that we had? Do you remember there were some things that God had called me to, and you're going to be able to look back and see the blessing and favor of God. Listen, to reset is not easy work. It's not easy work. I dislocated my wrist in fifth grade, and my arm went straight like this, and my wrist was up here, and hand was up here like that. I remember that. It needed to be reset, but in fifth grade, as I was running down the street towards home, I had no idea how to do it. So I was running and screaming and looking at my hand. Resetting is hard work, at least maybe not for a doctor, but for a fifth grade kid, it is. To reset is hard work. To be consistent in the resetting and what you're setting your heart to do is even harder. Author, pastor Chris Hodges says these words. He says, most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. How many of you know hope is not a strategy? Like, well, what are you anticipating for this year? Well, I hope it's going to be a good one. I hope it'll be good. That's not a strategy. We have uphill hopes. Like, I hope it's going to be good, but we have downhill habits. And I think, because everything worthwhile is uphill. Everything worthwhile is hard work. There really are very few gimmies. Isn't that the truth? Why? Because we're going against the culture. If you're going and you're trying to set the trajectory of your life this way, there's a lot of the culture that's trying to pull you back and pull you down. You're going against the flow. So don't expect it to be easy. Don't expect it to be easy. Everything worthwhile is uphill. Paul gives us a great word for how to reset in January. Listen to this. Romans 12, verse 2, Message Bible Translation says it best. Get this. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. It's hard work. To reset some things in our lives is, and here's the deal. God wants to work at us, not from the outside in, from the inside out. I can look in the mirror and say, okay, this year I want to lose this, and I want to work on this, and I want to work on that, and kind of outside things. And God says, no, I want to work from the inside out, Gary. I don't want to just work on the physical man. I want to work on the spiritual man. So here's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to reset this. We've talked about alignment. We've talked about generosity. Tonight we're going to talk about our thinking. How many of you know our thinking sometimes needs to be reset? We have got to get our thinking under control. How many of you know our thoughts have the ability to catapult us into some pretty amazing and awesome things, awesome opportunities, or they have the opportunity, if unmanaged, lead us down pathways of devastation and destruction. One author says, we will never change our lives until we change the way we think. If you learn how to manage your mind, you can manage your life. You can manage your life. I was thinking back, growing up, I grew up in a great church as a young boy. I grew up in a church that I would later go back and be not only be the youth pastor, but then be the senior pastor of it. It was just the journey that God had me on. But as a little boy, it was an amazing place. It was an amazing church with people in it that really just spoke into my life. I want that for Legacy Church. Because I was a young boy. I probably was in fifth grade when I stood up on the stage of that church and sang my first solo. And I got off the stage and I remember after church people would come up to me. I don't even remember what it sounded like. It probably didn't sound that great, but these people came up to me and said, "Gary, God is going to use you." Gary, that was amazing. Gary, there's an anointing on your life. God's got a call on your life. And it just began to kind of, they would just speak things into my life at a young age. And you know what? I stuck with that church into my high school years. I got involved in the youth ministry of that church, and I would go and I'd listen to the messages and be involved in the worship, and I'd go to the summer camps. And it was at a summer camp that I gave my heart to Jesus. Here's what I realized. As I look back on my life, every pivotal moment in my life came when I made a thinking change. Every pivotal moment in my life, and I want you to grab this, came when I made a thinking change. I didn't see it at the moment, but when I look back, I see it. There was a thinking change. I remember being at that summer camp, and I remember weeping at a dusty altar in Big Bear, California, up in the Big Bear Mountains at Camp Sealy. And I remember a pool of tears because I sensed God was saying, Gary, I want to use you in ministry. I want you to follow. And I remember following the call of Jesus. I remember lifting my hand saying, yeah, I want to be in full-time ministry. And I remember going home and telling my family, which at that time was a broken family, parents were divorced, but I remember telling my brother, I was the only one in the apartment, I said, hey, Joe, I'm going to Bible college. He said, what do you mean you're going to Bible college? I'm going to Bible college. I want to become a pastor. And I remember loading up my Datsun, 1979 Datsun pickup, long bed, John, long bed with a tonneau cover on the back, and my Pioneer Super Tuner 2 stereo right in the middle. And it kind of was propped up a little bit, and I remember just riding, going up I-5 from Los Angeles all the way up to Eugene, Oregon, where I had no idea, but there would be this young, beautiful gal by the name of Patricia Colleen O'Grady. Who would be there, God, the rest was history. I had no idea. See, at pivotal moments, every pivotal moment in my life came when I made a thinking change. And I wonder if tonight, maybe somebody in here, maybe it's going to be your pivotal moment. Maybe today will be your day where you look back and say, yeah, it was that night. You know what's going to happen at Legacy Church? It's going to happen where people are going to say, it was that night. It was that night you sang that song. It was that night that message was preached. It was that night when that guy was baptized and he gave his testimony. It was that night when the greeter greeted me and he had such a love for Jesus. And the guy in the parking lot had the love of the Lord on his eyes. And when I dropped my kids off at kids ministry and they came back excited about it. It's going to happen. There's going to be pivotal moments in people's lives that just begin to shape them, and it begins to shape their destiny. The Bible says, a wise person chooses the right road. A fool takes the wrong road, the wrong one, Ecclesiastes 10:2. So tonight I want to do quickly a couple things. I want to give us some common teaching on the power of our thoughts. This is not power of positive confession or power of positive thinking, but some really just some common truths about it and some biblical support to it, some theology that supports these thoughts that are very real and very true. And the Bible talks a lot about our thinking. Here's number one, that everything begins with my thoughts. So if you were diagramming this, you'd put an arrow down at the top of your paper, arrow pointing down, and you put everything begins at my thoughts. Everything begins with my thoughts. So if you're doing well in life and you're liking where your life is going, and then that probably has to do with some thinking. If you're not all that excited about where you're going and you're in a kind of a bummer place in your life, it has to do with your thinking, because everything begins with our thinking. Draw an arrow down from that and write these words: what we think determines how we feel. What we think determines how we feel. So if you're thinking negative, chances are, and you're always thinking, chances are you're just spewing negative out. And if you're always feeling negative, always feeling down, probably chances are it has to do with some thinking that's going on. Some would say stinking thinking, right? And draw an arrow down from that and write these words down, that our thoughts will determine our destiny. That our thoughts will determine our destiny. Everything begins with my thoughts. What we think determines how we feel, and our thoughts will determine our destiny. This is so important. Because if you try to change your behavior, as we look at 2018, without changing the thought that went into the behavior, you'll never change the behavior. If you try to change your behavior without changing the thought that went into the behavior, you'll never change the behavior. So you can set resolutions to your heart's content. But if your thinking hasn't changed, you're just setting yourself up for failure. For example, let me just give an example. If I'm having a, and I'm Joe Schmo, and I'm having a stressful day, and I tend to default into certain behaviors when it's a stressful day, because after all, it's a stressful day, I deserve a break, right? I deserve some downtime, some me time. I have a rough day. What happens is we just begin to default in some of the same old patterns that we always fall. And unless I change the thinking, I'm going to walk into headlong into the same old patterns. Our thoughts will determine our destiny. And that truth alone will either make you really excited or it'll scare the life out of you. Because how I'm thinking right now is going to really ultimately end up becoming my destiny. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, 12, we've heard this. Some of you may have thought this was a saying, like a little motto, a cute little thing, or fortune cookie. The Bible says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. There's a way that seems right to a man, right? There's a way that seems right to a man. That seems like the right way, right? That kind of feels good. I'm going to go that way. But in the end, it leads to destruction. I love you break that down and it sounds better. Something like this. There's a way that seems right, or it seems like a shortcut to success, taken by those who are impatient of advice or of hard work or who lack moral scruples. That pathway will always lead to destruction. There's a way that seems right. That seems right. So we have to ask ourselves, we think about our thoughts, think about this pattern, how I feel, everything's being with thoughts, determine how I feel and determine my destiny. We have to think of this. If I'm breaking down this year, 2018, what is the first, what's going into my mind first part of the day? Ask yourself that. So just think of your normal daily morning pattern. Because what's going into my mind first can set the precedence for the rest of the day. How many of you know that to be true? I don't know about you, but I tend to, I like to read the newspaper, which is the e-newspaper, right? USA Today, I love it. I want to know, the newspaper, and I read the headlines and five things you need to know today. I want to know those five things and what's going on in the world. I remember as a youth pastor, we used to tell our young people, we were youth pastors for like 11, 12 years, a long time. We tell our young people, Bible before breakfast, Bible before breakfast, Bible before breakfast. What were we saying? We were saying, you need to feed the spirit man before you feed the physical man. You're going to survive. Have a little Bible time before. I was on staff on a team that we really tried, really made an effort to not just open up our computers and go straight to our emails, but not open them up and just spend some time with God. Again, for me, it's an easy default. It's easy to get up and just start looking at the newspaper, start checking emails, and then we're not even talking about bad stuff. We're just talking about life stuff. Somebody texted me last. Oh, the kids have a cute text, and there's another picture of one of my beautiful grandbabies, and we just get on and we just kind of wander away from feeding our spirit, man. It's not bad stuff, but it diverts my focus from Jesus. As I was thinking about this, I thought it feeds the curiosities of my life, but it fails to get to the core of my spirit, man. My wife, if you hang around Patty very long, you're going to notice she always has a big vat of water she's carrying around. maybe vat is not the right word, but it's like this container of water. You can't even call it a little cup of water. She's got, it's this big tank thing, and it weighs a ton. She takes it everywhere. I'm not kidding you. I said, honey, they have water in the restaurant. Why do you need to take that? Well, I'm afraid, what if they run out? Or whatever. It's just crazy. But she carries that. I'm not kidding you. She carries that thing everywhere. The habit is, she's for 33 years, she'll get a glass. She'll have that thing now. But it used to be just a glass of water on her nightstand to go to bed. And I didn't do that, but I'd see that. And, oh, that's cool. I used to ask for a drink in the middle of the night. And I don't do that anymore. I have my own glass of water over here because I recognize something that as an open-mouth sleeper, I think, I don't know, all I know is I feel really parched in the morning. It's great to just reach over, grab that glass of water. And how many of you do this? You grab a glass of water and you can feel the water go inside of your body. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, that's good. Because you're just dehydrated, right? Listen, I believe the spirit man, the same thing happens. When we ingest the Spirit of God, because our spirit man needs the spiritual water. And I thought, can I challenge you the last 7 days of our 21 days of prayer? We've been on 21 days of prayer. In fact, we've got some 21-day brochures. They're probably maybe in your program. It's the last 7 days. And I'm just going to kind of ramp this up just a little bit for the last 7 days. And by the way, we open this building here from 7 to 8 in the morning. So if you'd love to come and just spend time in prayer, you can do that here. This will be a part of the life pattern of Legacy Church. We'll probably do 21-day campaigns 2 times every year. We'll probably do 40-day campaigns somewhere in the middle, somewhere. But we just want to be praying and seeking God and getting his heart for this city and what he's called us to do. But 7 days, for the next 7 days, we planned this to where the last day of the 21 days of prayer was going to end the morning of our first morning service. Isn't that cool? So the morning of our first morning service is the 28th, next Sunday, before you have a Krispy Kreme donut. Before we can break fast that day too, so I might even have a Krispy Kreme donut, Barbara. Here's what we'd like to do. I'd like to challenge you to not grab your phone within the first 15 minutes of the time you're awake. I'd like to challenge you the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes, 15 minutes of your morning to say, Jesus, I'm going to give you those first 5, 10, whatever you have time to do. I'm not going to say, hey, if you're really spiritual if you do 15, if you're not so spiritual if you do 5, or if you only can do 1, but just whatever. And maybe that looks like just listening to a worship song. Maybe that just looks like, something, reading something in the Word or whatever that looks like, giving Jesus those first few moments of your morning. And as much as it is a spiritual kind of being spiritually hydrated, I think you're going to see it as this too. You're going to see it as a personal test. You're going to be able to mark something in your own spirit. Because what may happen is you may start in those first 15 minutes, you may start twitching. That phone sitting on your nightstand, you may, or wherever it is, you may feel, you know that feeling when your phone just, it does a little, it's in your pocket or back pocket, all of a sudden, that really wasn't good, was it? It's in your front pocket and it goes, you know what I'm saying? It's just that vibration. How many of you just have that, like, I have to know what that was. And you start. Some of you, even during this message tonight, some of you during this service, like, oh, my phone. I got to know. I got to know what that is. I think in those first few moments, you may start to feel some of that pull. And I think that we can kind of measure, wow, am I really that addicted to that piece of electronics. I heard a TED talk. It was awesome. He says, this guy was talking. He says, be curious as to what's happening in your mind and body in that moment. Your phone buzzes, or you see a text message, or it lights up at night if it's on your nightstand. All of a sudden, whoa, it lights up, and you go, I got to know what that was, right? And we reach out. It's automatic. He says, he calls it the endless exhaustive habit loop. We can either end the endless exhaustive habit loop or we can perpetuate it. One of two ways. You can step into it or out of it. And so instead of, next time, instead of, see text message one. It's like, see Tom run. Run, Tom, run. It's like that. See text message. Feel the urge to text back. Three, feel a little bit better. That's the endless exhaustive habit loop. He said, oh, instead, notice the urge. So you, there's the phone. It makes that little, notice the urge. Get curious. Wonder where that's coming from. Why do I want to see that so badly? Feel the joy of letting go. I'm not going to respond to it. Repeat. I'm saying for the next 7 days, let's say, Jesus, I want you to have the first 5, 10, 15, whatever it is. I want it to be you. Go out to the living room. Leave your phone behind and just meet with him. Because what's going into my mind first can set precedence for the rest of my day. I better hurry. Get this thought. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, reap your destiny. Notice how it starts with a thought and it ends with what? Your destiny. Thought. It just begins with a thought. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we want that? I could follow a rabbit trail here, but I won't. I'm going to be disciplined right now. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you four practical ways to practice good thinking. Four practical ways. We can talk about it. Yeah, you're right. We can all agree right now, our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts are powerful. And I want to follow this year of 2018 a healthy pathway with my thoughts. Here's four practical ways to practice good thinking. Let me just give you this passage of Scripture. Write it down. I won't read the whole thing. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I want to go pick it up right in the middle. It says, the weapons we fight with are not carnal. I'm quoting King James. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Did you hear that? We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So from the heart of Jesus, I want to give you four practices that'll help. Number one, change the wallpaper. What do you mean? We don't have wallpaper in our house. Change the wallpaper of your mind. Because here's the reason. We got to get a plan in place to help us control our thoughts. We got to get a plan in place, and here's the best way. And it's going to sound like some of you may even be let down when you hear what the reason is, or what the best way to do that is. Here it is: read the Bible. Read the Bible. We read everything, sometimes everything, but we read great quotes. We read blogs. We read self-help books. We read Christian books that talk about God, but there's nothing like the Word of God. We've got to read the Bible. It will change how we think. It's easy to get dialed into our computers and on the internet and on media. And how many of you know the World Wide Web is not shy about throwing you its garbage, and there's a lot stronger words we could use there. They're not ashamed to throw it at you. Read the Bible. It will change how you think. We got this wallpaper analogy because I was in a desperate place. And I needed some help navigating. I was in my early 40s. And I could not self-correct. I could not. I was following a spiral of negative thinking. I was at my lowest point doing ministry. Futile thinking is the best way I could describe it, and I couldn't recover. And I began to believe my own thoughts that what I was doing didn't matter, that I'd miss God, that I was in a place, I was in ministry, and I was in a place that nobody wanted to be there. Nobody wanted to be in this city. Nobody wanted to be in. And I'd wake up, and it was just negative, that my window of opportunity had closed, that I was in a dead-end place. And you can't stay in a negative space for very long until you start to self-destruct. And that's where I was, and I couldn't, again, self-correct. And I began to walk down a path of destruction, and it was like, the best way I could describe it to you is like I had my family in my hand, and I was unable to lead. And I just needed help. I just needed to say, time out! But I didn't know how to do that. And it's as if I took my family that I loved, would have died for, and tossed it in the air. And by the grace of God, and a loving wife, and loving family, and loving people who believed the Jesus in me, who walked alongside of me during that devastating time, or what could have been devastating, who walked with me, and a counselor who looked at me and he said, Gary, you got to change the wallpaper of your thinking. You got to let God's word begin to shape you, not for sermons for other people. You know, we can do that. Us pastors can do that. I can give you 5 scriptures, Kevin, on what you should do. And God was started to say to me, no, Gary, I need you to embrace those 5 scriptures. Thank you very much. Begin to read it for me. And hear what God was saying to me. You've got to change the wallpaper of your life, Legacy Church. That's what God's word could do. Listen to Hebrews 4:12, one of the greatest passages about the power of God's word. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is alive. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It's alive, ladies and gentlemen. God's word is alive. And when you read it and you read it to apply it to your life, it's going to expose some things in you, in your heart. It'll correct you. I couldn't self-correct, but God's word could steer me and direct me and correct my life. Don't read the Bible, Chris Hodges says. Let the Bible read you. Mark Batterson says, when you open God's word, what happens? God opens his mouth. He speaks through his word. I use the soap method when I do in my own personal daily devotions. I have a journal, my Bible, and sometimes people try to get on these, you know, like, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, and that's great, and that's a great aspiration and a great goal. And then you ask them, hey, how's it going around March? Says, how's it going? Well, I'm 500 verses behind. You know, 500 chapters I got to read today. It's like, and then what happens is you set yourself up for failure and you don't get through it, right? So I'll just set a goal. I'm going to read this book of the Bible. Read this book of the Bible. I'm going to read one chapter a day. I'm going to just comb through it. Or maybe a chapter, maybe something out of Proverbs. Because you could read a proverb a day for each month. Every month you could read the Proverbs 1 through 30, 31. You could read every month. Just get a proverb. Just do something to read the Bible. And I use the soap method, right? Write soap, S-O-A-P, across the one sheet of a little journal. And I just begin to take notes. Soap, write the scripture down that stood out to me. Write an observation from that passage. Application, what it meant to me. What was it saying to me? And then I write a prayer down. Just, Jesus, help me to live this out today. It doesn't have to be long. You don't have to be a great theologian to do it. But it comes alive, and God speaks through his word. Secondly, check in with the tower. Check in with the tower. In other words, have a conversation with God. We jump on airplanes, and we fly right? We jump on an airplane, we get up to 30,000 feet, and we're just darting through the sky, and we're eating our peanuts and sipping our little beverage. And there's a conversation. We're all quiet, and the door's shut where the cockpit is, and we're fine, and there's a conversation going on in that cockpit that maybe sounds something like this. This is military, but check this out.
16, short initial runway 16, additional traffic, unmanned MQ-9, midfield left downwind for runway 25, on departure maintain, outer blow 5,600, right turn left, send and maintain, climb and maintain. You know, he wants the confidence in your voice that, all right, this guy wants me to do this. I have confidence that they're going to keep me safe.
Awesome. Here's what's happening. The pilot's not flying that plane listening to iTunes. He's not listening to that plane checking his emails and checking his USA Today. He's not flipping around. He's flying a plane, right? He's flying passengers around. Let's think commercial for a moment. He's flying passengers through the sky. And what he's saying from the tower is this. From the tower, he's saying, I'm going to navigate. I'm going to help you find out where you're going because I can see what you're not seeing. And I can divert to other altitudes or routes that will keep you from impending danger. Folks, we got to check in with the tower. We got to check in with God. We have to have conversations with God as we're navigating through some very treacherous things in life. We're dealing with people, with feelings and emotions. I need to hear from God. Check in with the tower. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to it and are safe. We got to turn the volume of the world down so we can hear God. We can hear God. Go to the third one. We need to choose people. These are just some practices we can to work on our thoughts. Choose people to encourage and challenge your thoughts. Choose people to encourage and challenge your thoughts. Get into community. Don't do life alone. If you're looking for a church fellowship, I said this in the first, I'll say it every week. If you're looking for a church fellowship, I'm not unashamedly. Jump in with us. Jump in with Legacy. We're ready to go. We're moving forward. We're believing God for some life change in this region. Get in community. The goal could be to get around people that can contribute to good thinking patterns in your life. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let me give you the last one. Invite the Spirit to charge your thinking. Charge your thinking. Allow the Holy Spirit to fuel our thoughts. When God speaks to you, here's what I believe. Here's what I believe in 2018. Here's what I believe. Are you ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this. If we can change the wallpaper, if we can, what was the second one? Say it again. Check in with the tower. Thank you. We can check in with the tower. If we can choose friends and people that can challenge our thoughts, and if we can invite the Spirit to charge our thinking, here's what I believe is going to happen this year. The Spirit of God is going to whisper a dream to you that has to do something more than just maybe your job, which is jobs. Thank God for jobs. But it's going to have eternal significance to it. He's going to give you a dream. He's going to lay something on your heart, I'm believing this year, that it's going to take, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. We're going to need him. We're going to need his help. We're going to need, the Bible says in the last days, God will pour out, he says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, young men dream dreams, and old men, young men see visions, old men dream dreams. And on those days, I will pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy. God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We got to check in with the tower. We got to allow the Spirit of God to fuel our thoughts. We got to get around people who can challenge our thinking. This is the year to do it. I don't know about you, but I want to move forward in life this year as we plant this church. This is we're in way over our heads. We're in way over our heads. We're never going to be bored here. We're never going to have to ask the question, what should we be doing? Our mission statement says we need to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. So I wake up every day with, how can I help people encounter Jesus in a life-changing way? I know how. I'm standing in line, and sometimes I'm standing in line at Starbucks, and there's somebody behind me. And I just sense the Spirit of God. Just not Gary, do that. No, just an impression. And I tell the barista, and I'm going to cover his coffee. You hope he just gets a coffee because he might tell, and I want that, and I want that. I just leave my card there, just put it on mine, and walk away. And then you come over and say, hey, she told me you bought my coffee. What's the big deal? No big deal, man. I just saw it look like you're a little stressed out or whatever. Just whatever. Creative ways for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. The Bible says, a friend, we were taking our leadership team through some training, and before we planted the church, before we launched the church, we were meeting in a living room in Coeur d'Alene. And I was taking them through a Craig Rochelle kind of training module. And I stumbled across this declaration that I want to pass on to you. And if you want this, email me and I'll send it to you. It's a declaration that he makes every day. And I want to close with this. It's a declaration he makes to the Lord every day. And it's kind of from the spirit of the heart of where the Bible says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Whatever you're thinking, it's going to come out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's on the inside is going to come out. It's a way to strengthen yourself and set your course for every day. So I took what he wrote, and I adapted it to my life. Some of the things are his. They're so great. I said, God, I want that. That's aspirational for me. I want that. And some are just for me. So listen to it and let it challenge your life as well. Declaration, first thing in the morning. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify him. I love my wife and I will lay down my life to serve her. My children and grandchildren will love God and serve him with their whole hearts. I will encourage, train, equip, nurture, and empower them to do more for God's kingdom than they can possibly imagine. I am growing closer to Jesus every day. I'm anointed, empowered, equipped, and called to reach people far from God. My words, thoughts, and imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. I am resourced by the King of Kings, Jehovah Jireh. I love people and believe the best about others. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I am anointed, creative, innovative, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I get to live my dream today and plant a church that will not only impact this city, but I believe legacy, that God wants us to reach this region and the world. I bring my best and then some. It's what I bring after I do my best that's making the biggest difference. The world will be different and better because I served Jesus today. I am a servant of the Most High God. Drop the mic. Kick the devil in the head. Because sometimes we wake up, right? We wake up and it's, it's Monday. Or we pick up our electronic devices and we start. And I've been there. So this dorky faith is mine. The exhaustive, endless habit loop. It's time we said, no, 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 no. I'll not be controlled by anything. I want the Spirit of God to order my steps and my life this year. Would you pray with me? Jesus, our heart's desire tonight is to allow you entrance into our lives, to give you preeminence, to give you the first place. We kid ourselves when we say, I love Jesus and Jesus is in my life, but you're not first. There really is no other place for you, Lord. If you're not first, as we used to sing and say, if your Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And we want you to be Lord of all. Change us, shape us, work in us, Lord. Help us reset our thinking, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.